Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Let's just call them stink bombs.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein.
And this is all in effect on June 21st.
Layla Rahimi.
I'm going to try to hold this up for Twitch on my iPad. Please don't judge my dirty screen. But this is what we're looking at.
She's Italian beef grease on her screen like
Connie's,
a true Chicagoan.
Connie's Pizza.
True Chicagoan. That
yes, I have an Italian beef for lunch today. I'm very happy.
Have you ever used spider tap while pitching?
I don't know.
Umpires have been instructed to perform checks periodically throughout the game on all starting and relief pitchers on both teams, regardless of whether they suspect a rules violation.
Regardless. Let's give Joe West more power this year.
No probable cause needed.
It's ridiculous. I have used sticky stuff before.
I don't know.
Like, if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like, you have to use something. So
I have not seen that in our clubhouse. I've seen pictures of a ball and what it looks like.
It's my game, and I dictate how I want my balls to be rubbed up.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
With Bernstein and really Mahimi.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon.
It's hard to see this when you're giving out 10-game suspensions for cheating. But you give the Astros no suspensions at all.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players.
Did he do it again? The answer's yes!
Get your balls rubbed up and settle in for some red-hot sports talk on this glorious spring Wednesday here in Chicago. It's the Bernstein and Rahimi Show, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We'll be joined in just a bit by Stephanie Apstein, who's done some of the absolute best and most thorough reporting about this bombshell in baseball. Senior writer at Sports Illustrated will join us in just a bit. Mike Florio has all kinds of stuff. There's a basketball story that's affecting the NFL. He just posted a story at ProFootballTalk.com about that. We'll also talk about what Matt Nagy had to say with him, and then we'll hear from Matt Nagy shortly thereafter. We got a fun midway today. I think I may have solved a mystery. And Cody Decker not only is going to join us to talk baseball at 11, he has a very special announcement. We'll do more baseball talk in that hour as well as we follow everything that's going on. 312-644-6767. That's the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to email us, you do at BernsteinRahimi at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live as we stream at 670thescore.com. Your texting goes to the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at BernsteinRahimi. She is at Layla Rahimi, the woman in black. And I am at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you download the Odyssey app, and then you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can interact on Facebook if you want to throw up. And you can also be part of our Twitch stream, because that's fast and furious and fun. So check it out. These cameras show us and things and guests and occasionally her Italian beef gravy stained iPad. That is at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And that's all managed by Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertz. We have Jay Zawoski. We have Jordan Malley. And here we are.
And Feds Watching by Jordan. Nice pull there. Don't think I didn't notice that. a 2 Chainz classic, Dan Bernstein.
I'm here to be educated on most of the hip hop that I missed.
I'm trying to think of the best line in that song right now, but feds watching is the truth, except here's the problem. They also make the ball. So is anybody watching them?
If you're really a conspiracy theorist, you can think the reason they're going surprisingly hard on this is because they're doing this as they roll out a new ball. And as they're kind of saying, maybe this will help a little bit. We're going to bring back some of the old baseballs, but we're going to show you that it's our effort to crack down on this. That's the reason why offensive numbers start to rebound. It assumes some competence that maybe isn't there. I think it presumes that they're able to pull something like this off and have the wherewithal and the aforethought. It may be coincidental that all of this is happening at the same time, or they don't even know which balls they're putting in play by these lot numbers that Dr. Meredith Wills was pointing out. She says she's cracked the code. I'm not sure what baseball knows and how they know. If they say there are different balls in play in the same game, how they know what's out of play or what's in play or what the next one is being handed to the umpires coming out of that dugout. So everything has some level of plausibility. It's an uncomfortable place to be. Like, so when pitchers are talking about some of this stuff, I have to try to think they might make sense.
Major League Baseball doesn't buy a factory to make baseballs for no reason. So willful incompetence sounds cute, but I think in this case, when there's billions of dollars on the line, it's not just that. But the point being, at least from what I see, is if they're going to change things, then pitchers were going to change things too, and now they're putting their foot down.
And pitchers are unhappy about what's going on to the point of blaming this decision for injuries. And that's really the big story that's come out of this White Sox series. And that's Tyler Glasnow, a legitimately great pitcher, is now going to be on the shelf for a long time. And he spent about a minute and a half talking about what he thinks is responsible for his partial UCL tear.
I 100% believe that contributed to me getting hurt. No doubt, without a doubt. I think like it's ridiculous. I have used sticky stuff before. It's ridiculous that like it seems like this whole public perception of like, oh, it's just like select few people. Like your favorite pitcher probably 50 years ago was using something too. Like if you felt these balls, how inconsistent they were, like you have to use something. So in the past, my like substance of choice is sunscreen and rosin. Like just nothing egregious, something to where I can get a grip on the ball so it doesn't feel dusty. I'm sitting here, my lifelong dream, I want to go out and win a Cy Young. I want to be an all-star. And then now it's all just shit on. Because now it's over and now I have to try and rehab to come back in the playoffs. So I'm clearly frustrated. It's just, I think there needs to be a lot more. People need to figure this out. You can't just tell us to use nothing. It's crazy. I'm not trying to blame anyone. I'm not trying to say like, oh, this is all MLB's fault. Like they got thrown into the situation too. They're doing the best they possibly can to navigate around this. They're trying to make this fair for people. I understand that, but you can't, whether you want us to not use sticky stuff or not is fine. Fine. Do it in the off season. Give us a chance to adjust to it. But I just threw 80 something, 70, whatever innings. And then you just told me I can't use anything in the middle of the year. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season, everything out of the window. I have to start doing something completely new. And then I'm telling you, I truly believe that's why I got hurt.
I don't think he's wrong. That makes all the sense in the world. If you're used to doing something and you have to change that mid season and you have no time to prepare, yes, I would imagine that would get you hurt.
I can't say if he's right or wrong. He's certainly, it is reasonable for him to believe that. And if he says he's felt pain that he hasn't felt before, you know, the other fact is guys who throw hard get hurt. Their UCLs blow. They go. It's just a matter of when. It's not a matter of if. The people have written about it, refer to it as chasing the demon. And when you're up over certain velocities, over a certain period of time, certain percentage of pitches, your arm falls off. That happens. If this accelerated it, and maybe there was something ready to go that this made it happen when it did, I can't say it did or it didn't, but he absolutely believes that it did.
Here's what people seem to be missing here, is that for eons, sunscreen and rosin was acceptable. Sunscreen and rosin. Now it's just rosin. That's going to affect the way that you're gripping a ball. We're not talking about the dudes who use spider tack here. We're talking about people using sunscreen and rosin. He's admitting that, and everybody wants to call him a cheater. I don't think that's the case here. Here, when you see, it's just like the steroid logic. When you see people with ridiculous home run numbers that they didn't have the year before, then you ask the questions. Glasnow is not the guy. And why would he speak out like this if he were? That seems counterproductive, especially when you're protected by a union. He doesn't have to say anything. He could argue that his pitch count is what caused a partial UCL tear. He's explaining to you for a reason. That's not cheating. Sunscreen and rosin. It has not been the cultural moray to use sunscreen and rosin and have it be an issue. It's the way you're using it. He's not that dude, or else he wouldn't be publicly talking. I think what he's saying has merit.
There are a couple things that contributed to the confluence of the effect of these substances. And the use of cameras, the fact that Trevor Bauer and his dad brought the Edgertronic camera into the game. And if you go back and you read the MVP machine and what happened once the high-speed cameras got involved and once pitchers better understood what a grip is and what it's not and what it meant and how finger pressure and finger position on the seams can be manipulated, the engineering of every single pitch that's thrown, the optimization of every pitch, that change, sure, rosin sunscreen was used to get a good grip on the ball, but then it became different, and then it became so specific, even before Spider Tack, that it was not believed to be cheating because it was all kind of presumed to be okay.
If they change the ball, and the ball is harder to grip, then you have to do something to fix that problem. So they adjusted to the adjustment.
And they were more specific in how they were applying it to maximize what that ball could do. That's why when you watch Pitching Ninja, that's why when you see the Kenley Jansen ridiculous cutter, some of the stuff that's going on that just obviously looks like doctored baseballs, the difference between having a reasonable chance to grip the ball properly and then saying, wait a second, now I can absolutely maximize the wiffle ball action on this because I'm using this stuff. That's where in over time, that's when it became obvious that it went too far.
Also, listen to guys like Ian Happ who talk to us. Like, listen to players. I don't know why this is so hard for some people. Like, I'm not excusing Tyler Glasnow here. I'm saying that when you see somebody who has a spin rate that's out of this world and then suddenly it's come back down to life and you don't know how it got to that point to begin with, then yes, you need to ask questions. Is this the case where you need to do it? No, but is this an immediate latent side effect of something that you wanted to fix because perhaps you're the one who changed it to begin with? Here we are.
And that's why I mentioned yesterday, I am surprised that baseball went as hard as they did cutting it down to just rosin, that just the dried pine sap that's in that bag, instead of saying, here is a substance that gives you a reasonable opportunity to grip a baseball a substance they can test, a substance they can crowdsource. And it could be something well short of Spider Tack, maybe something mirroring what was going on with one of the other lesser grip enhancers, and say this substance is approved by MLB for a certain kind of usage. I thought they would do that, and the fact that they didn't is telling, because if they're saying we are enforcing this hard. Good luck. I think you're still going to have people pushing it. I think you're still going to get people sweat. People wear sunscreen on hot days, and there's a rosin bag there.
And again, people mad that sunscreen's in a dome. I've spent 162 games reporting before. You still get tan. Sometimes you don't want to get tan. My dermatologist told me, and even though I have olive skin, that I should wear sunscreen regardless of the time. I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. I think that's pretty reasonable.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Stephanie Apstein about this story because she has been absolutely all over it, an expert in this whole timeline. She's next on The Score.
The Cubs are hot and battling to take the NL Central.
There's a lines one, right center, base hit. One run is in. Cubs lead 2-0. Anthony Rizzo choking up.
Listen to every game here. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs. An Odyssey station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The way I look at it is, it's hard to see this when you're giving out 10-game suspensions for cheating. but you give the Astros no suspensions at all. So, I mean, if Rob Manfred can look himself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm doing the right thing, that's fine. You can't suspend the team that you actually knew was cheating during a playoff game. That's on you.
White Sox starter Carlos Rodon, not pulling any punches there about his feelings regarding this crackdown, and it certainly is that. They have lived up to this. It's a lot more than I expected. Here to talk about this decision from baseball that may have some unintended consequences is Stephanie Apstein, who is on Twitter at Steph Apstein. She writes for Sports Illustrated, and she joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline. Circa Resort and Casino, home of the world's largest sports book. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
What is your opinion of the latest memo that we've seen from Major League Baseball that came out yesterday and already the reactions from the players?
I think it's always going to be really hard when you're making a change in the middle of the season. I think that is what most players seem to take issue with, is the idea that they suddenly have to come up with a different way of being. I think the counter argument there is that this has been telegraphed all year. They've been making it pretty clear that they were going to crack down eventually. And so I think the opinion in some corners is that, you know, you kind of should have seen this coming, but it's going to be a rocky implementation, I think.
Were you surprised they came in this hard? Because I thought that the best thing, the typical passive-aggressive MLB routine would be rattle your saber, say, oh, you know, we're cracking down on it, hope that players started to begin to do it, monitor the situation, and then wait until the offseason. Why do you think they're going to go absolute enforcement of this rule right damn now?
I think they feel like they don't have a choice, because I think they think that they did do that they did say, come on, we're going to start cracking down, please get your house in order, and nothing has changed. I think they were also really taken aback by how common the sticky stuff is and how common the really sticky stuff is. I think they just didn't really think that it was going to be this bad. And now that they've realized how bad it is and that it's the only thing anybody's talking about, I think they feel sort of pressured to act. I don't think this was anybody's plan at the beginning of the year, but they're not sure what else to do at this stage.
What's funny is we talked to Dr. Meredith Wills last week, and her Sports Illustrated work has been well publicized too about the effect of different balls that are in play and the seams and it feeling dusty to pitchers. And I'm sure that there was some sort of counterbalance there that was done to get a better grip on the ball. What's your knowledge as far as this being a reaction to Major League Baseball changing things as well?
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of the pitchers are saying. That I had one pitcher tell me the most consistent thing about the baseball is what we put on our hands.
Wow.
That the league changes it so frequently and with so little sort of clarity, transparency for players, that they feel like they sort of have to do what they can to keep up. Some pitchers felt like after it appeared that the ball was juiced in 2019, that the ball was flying so far, they felt like, you know, I got to do something to keep my numbers good, to keep being successful. And so this is kind of what they landed on. And I do think that is not the whole story, but I think that's a significant part of the story.
We were just before you came on, we were talking about the confluence of grip enhancement with overall enhancement of pitch design and how this has been conflated with the advent of the use of edgertronic cameras and all of the ways to optimize spin, to understand it, to see it, to know what grips are and what they aren't, what can be done with a baseball. What happens now? Like all of these teams that have some version of their secretive pitch lab and have staffed this up with physicists, you know, experts in ballistics to figure out how to move a ball through the air. You know, was it seam shifted wake and everything that we know now? What happens to all of this investment without the ability to spin a ball the same way?
It's a great question. I guess they start running different numbers. I think that is going to be really incumbent on teams to try to figure out if they can coach their guys to succeed without sticky stuff. That will be a huge differentiator. And then I also think it depends a little bit on what the league's real goal is here. is it in fact to get rid of sticky stuff, or is it to get rid of the conversation around sticky stuff? And I think we're going to have a better sense of that in a couple of weeks, whether they really intend to eradicate it from the game, which will require continuing these TSA checks, will require really a lot of diligence on everyone's part, or whether they kind of want to get rid of the spider tack and otherwise they want us to stop talking about it. That I think would look a little bit different. And in that case, all the chemists and stuff can probably go back to working that way.
When you mentioned those TSA checks, I thought that was one of the most compelling parts of your story, was how it's similar to getting your hand swabbed at the airport, and that there is something that is left on the hand. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I had a pitcher who says he uses Pelican Grip tell me that he was at the airport and he actually got stopped at airport security because his hands came back positive. And he was saying, you know, it's not explosives, but I understand why you think it is, because there's something inorganic on there. And this is after he had washed his hands, after he had showered. This is how sticky this stuff is.
What was the biggest surprise you got in reporting this story?
The airport security story definitely got my attention. I think in general, I don't know that I understood, which would put me in the same camp as Major League Baseball, I don't think I understood just how much of an effect it can have. I don't think I realized how devastating extra spin can be. I had Charlie Blackman of the Rockies explain that over his entire career, you know, from Little League on, he's seen millions of pitches, and the human eye can't track the pitch the whole way. You rely on seeing it at a certain point and kind of extrapolating what it's going to do. And so he will feel like, you know, if he sees it here behaving like this, then he can expect it's going to end up there. But when he swings to there now, he misses the ball because it's doing something he's never seen in his whole career. And that is devastating for these guys. He was saying you basically have to swing and try not to hit the ball where you think the ball is going to be, because it's going to be somewhere different. And it's really hard to train yourself. Your whole life has been about hand-eye coordination. It's very hard to train yourself to swing to a different place. And so I think that really crystallized for me why this is so much harder to hit.
You also discussed the team that you think is going to be the most affected by this. And you mentioned the Dodgers spin rate specifically. Is that the team that you think will be, or is there another one too?
Yeah, I think the Dodgers are a good team to keep an eye on. They've had a lot of guys whose spin rates have jumped quite a bit over the years. And everyone on their team except one, as of when I wrote the story, was up. Had a spin rate increase over last year. So those are definitely, that's a team that relies a lot on spin. I think the Reds are probably another team that you want to look at. They call themselves Spincinati, and it's not always clear, you know, some gains in spin rate are natural. So it's not clear exactly how much is sticky stuff and how much is natural, but I do think it will be worth keeping an eye on those teams in particular.
Let me put out a cynical theory here, and you tell me if you think this has any validity. It's better for MLB heading into a collective bargaining negotiation in general to have a group of players, to have a union pitted against itself in a way, because these are hitters and pitchers, but they're all on the same side of the bargaining table. Putting a rule in like this, where you're trying to balance the game, you're trying to create more action, create more offense, create more contact, make things more interesting, inherently creates a conflict between players. And I can't measure the effect that it has when they actually get in the rooms and start talking about stuff, and if they are going to be brothers in arms in negotiations. But it certainly politically helps them going into a negotiation to have the divide between hitters and pitchers over this issue.
I mean, that, I guess, is cynical, but it's also correct. I think fans need to understand that everything that's going on is taking place against the backdrop that the CBA expires in December. So every stupid little thing that these two sides are negotiating is not about the stupid little thing. It's all about the CBA all the time. And that affects literally everything that they do. And yeah, in this case, I think it matters. I think that the league is not too upset about these stories being written about how the players are cheating. And I think that probably it's helpful to them that most people are framing it as the players are cheating, rather than the league has been looking the other way for years and is just now deciding to start enforcing its own
rules.
It's
working,
so I think
too.
There's a lot.
It's working. You should see our text line. You should see the Twitch. I mean, these cheating players, I have no sympathy for them. Like, it is, people are such easy marks in this. They're so they're so easily getting played by MLB.
Yes, I think that's true. I think that the, you know, it's inherently more challenging to be on the union side. You have more members with more disparate needs and wants than ownership, which is largely united, and there are fewer of them. But yeah, in this case, I think the league is doing a pretty good job of sowing discord within the ranks. I think there's probably more more agreement than you would expect. I think in general, people agree that doing it in the middle of the season is not great, and eliminating the use of sunscreen is probably not great, and that most players do want spider tech gone. So I think there are some, even pitchers, they don't want to feel like they're at a competitive disadvantage if they don't use it. So I think there's more agreement than you would expect, but I think, yeah, I don't think anybody in the league office is disappointed that this has players against each other, and in some cases against, feeling that they're against the union on this.
Yeah, the principle of united the owners stand and divided the players fall is probably pretty, I'd say, to the forefront right now. But it's not just that to me. It's also that this happened last season where there was this divisive nature of what we saw. It was this very tenuous, unstable agreement to the agreement of trying to figure out the 60-game season. And once you put this on top of it, could this be a deal breaker or a game changer where you almost expect a work stoppage automatically after the CBA ends?
I think there's a real danger of work stoppage. I don't know if this issue is going to be the one that does it. I think there are plenty of other things that they are upset about. But yeah, I mean, I think that this is a real, I think the fact that they can't agree on anything, like you'll notice that the players, as the players like to point out, were not consulted on how to handle this problem. They're, you know, the release from MLB quotes Manfred. It does not quote anyone from the players union. Max Scherzer of the Nationals was talking the other day about how nobody's asking the players. They really seem to struggle to work together, and I think it's gonna continue to be a problem.
Before we let you go, Stephanie, any unintended consequence that you can predict? Anything that, as you've talked with people about this, has anybody muttered, well, yeah, they may do this, but be ready for X, Y, or Z?
People are definitely talking about the injury question. It's hard to know how fair that is, but Tyler Glasnow of the Rays did hurt himself this week, and he said yesterday that he believed it was because he had stopped using sticky stuff. He said he had just been using sunscreen and rosin, but that once that was gone, he had to adjust the way he held the baseball. He had to hold it further back in his hand to keep a grip on it. That he was incredibly sore, and that he thought that that was part of the reason that he thought injuries would go up. I think that that's a big thing to watch, is whether in fact that is the case. That's going to get a lot of people nervous.
Stephanie, outstanding stuff. You've been on top of this for a while, and it's been really some of the most detailed and informed reporting that we've gotten. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Stephanie Abstein, senior writer at Sports Illustrated. We will turn our attention to football. We got a little basketball news just breaking. Adrian Wojnarowski says that Stan Van Gundy, my guy, is out as Pelicans head coach after just one season. Opens up another potential landing spot for Becky Hammond, because that name, that's the hot name right now that has been discussed. I guess Boston has her in mind, Indiana and Portland all have apparently at least contacted her initially. So you can add another opening to the NBA. Chris Paul also has been placed in COVID protocols. We do not have details as to exactly what or why, what the contact was, whether he's vaccinated. We don't know. We just know that he's in some sort of protocol. But Mike Florio is going to join us next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.